We had bad game endings on the list, didn't we?
Bad game endings. I have a few that I've pulled out. I actually did some research before we came, which is staggering for me. Which it's sort of easy to pick on games like these. And I think Stuart mentioned Eye of the Beholder in the Facebook group. But both of these games essentially had a window at the end that said, congratulations for playing the game, fuck you, and you click OK, and then that's it, basically. So they were kind of like non-endings. But the more interesting games to talk about, I think, are, this is a more modern example, but a game like this, Mass Effect 3, which had an absolutely well-publicized, horrible ending to it. And we'll go ahead and say spoiler alert on this one, because if you haven't played Mass Effect 3, you should, because up until the last 10 minutes of this game, it was one of the best games I'd ever played in my entire life. So spoiler alert, but so mute me or whatever if you don't want to hear this. My experience at the end of this game was confusing, to say the least. And the end of that, because what I did with this game was I went straight through the story. I didn't do any of the extra stuff, because I've been playing hours of Mass Effect, and hundreds, trying to get through the series. And I was just ready to get to the end, and I want to see it real bad. And it was this weird, like, the spaceship is flying through space, and the warp things blow up, and then I landed on a planet, and the door opens, and I didn't see you open the door, and that was it. That was the end of the game for me, was those three scenes. After hundreds of hours of Mass Effect, I mean, literally, I'm not joking, that was it, right? Like, the spaceship, boom, and then the door, and that was it. What a absolutely horrible ending to an absolutely amazing series, especially given that the backlash was so bad that I personally think that's the reason why the head of BioWare left the company, was because of the backlash of that game. He says it wasn't, but I think it was. Probably the only example I can think of a game where they actually revised the ending to the game long after it was released with a patch, because people hated it so badly, and I didn't even like the redone ending either. That was an interesting example. And another one I thought of, and the more modern one, was frickin' Half-Life 2 Episode 2, which is only horrible, I think, because Episode 3 doesn't exist.
Half-Life 3 announced.
Yeah, Half-Life 3 confirmed. Spoiler alert on this one, if you haven't played it. But Alex, God, it's been 5 years since I played this. But didn't Alex, like, die or get, like, stolen by those creatures? And that's where the freaking series ends. And Valve has kept us in.
I think the major problem is that no one can actually remember how Half-Life 2 ended at this point.
Yeah, it was like a major cliffhanger ending, and now there's nothing 5 years on to bring closure to that freaking scene. So screw Valve and their Half-Life shenanigans, you know? But that's an absolutely horrible ending to a game right there.
So going back for a second, the Mass Effect 3, I thought the controversy was not the ending was bad necessarily, but that it was like whatever choices you made didn't matter at the end. You got sort of ending, essentially.
They didn't matter. There was this weird sequence where you went into the alien mothership, or whatever they called it, and there was like this ghost child, and which was completely lame, and there was people on this ship that shouldn't have been there. There's no way they could have gotten on the ship without you seeing it. Was so you get there and it gives you three choices, and they're color coded essentially. There's a red choice, there's a green choice, and there's a blue choice, and the only difference between the three choices was the color tint of the in cinematic. There was a blue tinted one, a green tinted one, and a red tinted one. And they were the exact same.
I think that's an oddly realistic reflection of the universe. Whichever option you choose, you're equally fucked. Your choice is an illusion, bitch.
The reason why the revised ending pissed me off so much was because I guess the fans didn't want to accept that the end of that game could be as bad as it was. So they were coming up with these pretty good theories about this indoctrination theory, where Commander Shepard was actually under the control of the Reapers, or Reavers, or whatever they were called. and that the entirety of the game, basically at the end of the game, he was under their control and he was destroying it and all this stuff. But then the revised ending they put out just completely squashed that indoctrination theory, and that theory was the only thing that made the original ending at all compelling. So anyway, what a disaster Mass Effect 3 was.
Well, going back to your other one, if you're talking about, you know, cliffhanger endings, there's probably a lot of games that we could complain about just because they weren't finished, or they, you know, they thought there was going to be a sequel and there wasn't.
And Inherit the Earth. Inherit the Earth is one of my least favorite.
I mean, Tex Murphy was one for many, many years. And finally, they closed the cliffhanger there. For me, Loom is a big one where it completely ends on a cliffhanger, essentially, and there has to be a sequel. There's no sequel. But that at least, see, the I distinguish between things like that and just bad endings. Because Loom, even though it ends on a cliffhanger, he's sort of stopped the spread of chaos at that point in time. He's reunited with his mother. There's been a conclusion to this chapter of the story, let's say. Let's call it that, at least. Whereas the game, which I have the biggest issue with, that Pascal knows, is Monkey Island 2. I just think the ending of that is a total disaster.
What?
Monkey Island 2, the Chuck's Revenge. There's no, I mean, basically it's like the whole game is going on, and then all of a sudden it's like we end up in like some weird Star Wars Empire Strikes Back world, then in a carnival, and then he's like a little kid and he's kidnapped, and it's like, congratulations, you won, game over, or something. But like, you didn't win at all. You're a prisoner of LeChuck at the end of the game, and then it didn't make any sense. And then they don't explain it. Then he's like, okay, I'm leaving LucasArts now, Ron Gilbert. I'm going to do something else. And the next group had to sort of pick it up. And they did an admirable job of making something halfway decent out of total crap that they were given. And they did something that made it look a little bit of sense at least. But that ending was so bad. And a lot of people think that game is the best game of all time. And I'm sorry. If your ending is so bad, you cannot be the best game of all time. You might have had it coming, but like that whole ending was just crazy. I mean, I don't even know. Like, you gotta get forget about the carnival part. The whole rest of it. Make a voodoo doll, you know, for LeChuck. So you gotta like slam his beard in an elevator after doing all sorts of weird things. We gotta like get him to blow his nose into a handkerchief. The whole thing was just it felt like it was tacked on at the very last second when he was like, how do we finish this game? I don't know. Let's just make up some weird crap and just that's it. We'll go. I'm like 90% sure that's what happened. So that's my vote of like the worst game ending ever.
Until we can get Ron Gilbert in to challenge these controversial views.
But he's not gonna, you know, everybody always asks him, so like, you know, what was the real secret of Monkey Island? Which is a stupid question, because I mean, the secret of Monkey Island was revealed in the first game. It's the fact that freaking LeChuck has a hideout underneath the island. And he always gives a coy answer there. And what would you have done with the third game? And he's like, oh, I can't really reveal that because he can't reveal it because he doesn't know. He has no clue. He never figured it out. He just made up some crap. And then, like, now he wants to pretend that it was, like, some master plan that he didn't get to carry out. I'm sorry.
You've been staring over this for a while, haven't you?
Yes. And listen, I happen to think he's a great game designer. Secret of Monkey Island 1, the first game, is one of the best games ever made, in my opinion. Okay? And he has other games that he's worked on which are also excellent games, but this one he phoned it in.
But yeah, I agreed to that what you said, but I still enjoyed it, and the thing is, I have another example where I think it's even worse, because you like to play Guybrush, and so the ending was not the best, but the game until then, you enjoyed it a lot, and the game was like, it end like, okay, what the fuck did I saw, okay. But I think the worst game ending ever I had in my life in an adventure game was from Fable. I'm not talking from the RPG series, I'm talking from the adventure game. And
I was just about to raise that one. We like different endings, so please start with your favorite.
Yeah, we're coming to the different ending, but talk about the original ending. I mean, the game is the character is a total jerk. I don't like.
He's awful. He is one of the worst protagonists in gaming.
Exactly, and it didn't happen. I don't want to finish that game at all, and that happened just with Black Mirror 2, I guess, it was a jerk as well. But that one in Fable 96, this guy was a jerk. He was insulting others. He was shouting at them. He was never nice to anyone who helped him in which kind of ridiculous situation, whatever. He was a total...
He was an idiot.
He was an idiot. And the end explains why, but that was like a slap in the face. He killed his whole family. What the F word? So I played a family slayer killer whatsoever. He's in an asylum due to what he did, and he is like, the whole story was just in his mind. He was thinking about this, and nothing of that happened at all. And I played a serial killer, a family slayer whatsoever, who got totally mad and crazy and ends up in an asylum. Thanks.
No, you're wrong. And no, I have an argument as to why you're wrong.
Again, first of all, calm down, Pascal. Calm down.
This is the most. If I pay money for this, God, I didn't pay money for this. But if I had paid, I would bring that back to the shop and say, keep your F-word game. I don't like that.
Okay, I think you're wrong about Fable's original ending. Because the last scene in which we are controlling Quickthorpe, he deliberately overwrites his brain with a different version of history. That is because suddenly it changes from a vaguely fantasy-ish game where we've had, where sadly given away by the fucking manual, which is the most spoilery thing in the world. You've got these heavy sci-fi elements coming in with an alien race, and you uncover these memory writing chambers. And in this chamber, you decide the last thing you can do, and this is the last action you can do as a player, is the only thing you can do to finish the game is to use the memory writer on Quickthorpe. And that is what triggers the sequence. So essentially, I think, although we've got these hints that Quickthorpe's reality is an illusion all through the game, it's a fairly clear, at least an open-ended option, that the ending in which he has slaughtered his entire family and has just been hallucinating in the Hell Dimension, which we get to explore earlier in the game, is something that he has overwritten his mind with. I've provided a link because I put myself through playing this. I have screenshots from every single fucking scene of that game. Oh my God, it was painful.
I mean, it has a reason. It has a reason why they re-released the game with an alternate ending. Because
yes, but that ending was worse.
And it didn't change the awful and the really terrible
of the game.
That happened.
No. The alternate ending.
For our education, can you remind us all what was the alternate ending?
The alternate ending, which was released on the American edition because they thought that the implication that you might be playing a family murderer who got into an argument about something completely inane and slaughtered his family, might be a bit heavy for American audiences, and also that the pre-rendered CGI sequence, which had fuck all to do with the rest of the game, was awful. Released in the US, Quickthorpe is suddenly reunited with his incredibly chavvy, cockney, disinterested girlfriend, who they didn't even get the voice actress back or someone to do a passable imitation. And oh, Quickthorpe, it's not really a very difficult imitation to do. They brought him back to the gates of his village, and his jiggly breasted paramour welcomes him back with open arms. You get to see nothing. The game ends. That is it. It is actually worse than the ending in which you may or may not be a serial killer.
But I have to add.
Wait, first, KG, calm down. Calm down.
No, it's important.
It is. So, but what they did is the game really looks nice. It has nice graphics, and they did really create a nice box. I really like the box, the book-like box. Look, we have the books before.
And the settings are really cool, and the plot and the backstory would be really cool if you uncovered it gradually through playing it, rather than having it all laid out in the first page of the manual.
But just for having it collector-wise, putting it on the shelf, nice one. But I would never ever recognize anyone to play it. Regardless from which ending, the game is really...
Well, you can read my playthrough instead.
I think I read one time something that developers were online where they said that they liked the original ending, but people just didn't appreciate it, so they had to come up with this, you know, a nice, sappy second ending. But you know, even your interpretation, KG, where you say that it made sense, you override his brain. That's still a pretty crappy ending to
it
a game.
It is. I'm not making any claims otherwise.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if basically they wrote this whole game and they were like, okay, same thing, how do we end it? I don't know. How about we say, like, you know, he was all in his head or whatever. Oh, yeah, sure,
it
that works for, like, the
Bob
Newhart show.
First game, and they were obviously a couple of young guys who'd just been thrust into writing this thing with a fairly minimal budget. So, you know, it's sort of game that makes me think if this studio had been able to keep on releasing games, they had a couple of cancelled ones that were supposed to be put out by Virgin, it would have been interesting to see what they did. You know, it's not a game without promise, and I think that's possibly what's most frustrating about both it and its ending. It has kind of potential, and it never really does it.
Am I misremembering that it was published by Sirtec?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
in the U.S., it was.
I guess we can thank Sirtec at least for, like, getting rid of the terrible, terrible, terrible ending and just putting
it in the American one.
I was a bit happy that there was an ending, because we're talking about bad endings, and so what I really don't like, and there are millions of examples, if there isn't an ending at all. I mean, you're playing like five...
Congratulations, you have won.
Exactly. You're playing like 500 hours a game, and the last thing is there like a screen, that's it, bye. I go, what? So that is always a question. I mean, you see so many bad examples where, you know, they run out of time at the end and they had no... But the good examples, like movies or so, if they take the time, you finish the game and then a nice outro. We had outros back then. There were intros and outros. And an outro was like, it could be an outro, like the LucasArts games or so. They did it in a very good way and other good examples. So they have a long outro, a nice scene where the heroes or the couple driving through the sunrise or sun whatever. And that was nice. You get something, and you like to watch the credits. Maybe something happened after the credits, or the credits are part of the outro and stuff like that, music and so. But there are so many games like, thanks. You can.
Well, a lot of that is calculated, though. It's not like they ran out of money. They just, in the beginning, they said, okay, we have X amount of money. We could either spend a lot of money on a nice outro, let's call it that, or we can spend twice as much money on the intro that we were planning on spending. Which one should we do? Let's see. The intro we could use in a nice marketing video, and everybody will see it, and it'll be playing in the store on a loop. And the outro, only Pascal is going to see.
Sounds like because they ran out of budget. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that decision, but that's the calculation I think a lot of
them... I totally agree. But you see that with modern or with every game. I mean, if you play like 30 minutes of a game, the first 30 minutes and the last 30 minutes. The first one, the scenes are totally full of everything, animation, so many things to do, hotspots everywhere. You can talk to 5 million different characters. And at the end, there's just a screen. You go through, you click the button, and that's it. So there's no laugh in the game like they put it in the beginning. And totally agree. I mean, what sells the game is the first minutes. You see playthrough, you see trailers, you see all that kind of stuff. But that really differs from I mean, all these big budget games, they have writers included in these projects to write really a story, and a nice story has an ending. And that is a lack of a lot of games, and especially of smaller ones. They don't know how to write at all. I don't know how to do it, but you see that in a lot of ways.
What I have seen in my personal experience, just from looking at it, it almost looks as though to me, and I'd like to find out if anybody else agrees with me, that outro sequences, stuff that's after the credits, the good endings, multiple endings, things like that, all revolve around a group of programmers and writers who really care about the game. A lot of times, when they're in it just for the money, it ends up that they just go, okay, thank you for playing, and that's the end of it. But when you have a passionate group of people, I get the feeling that all the outros and the music and the extra stuff is always put in by the programmers without the express permission of the directors and the producers of these games. They're always like little extras that they add, the end of Ultima 7 and I Am the Demon Lord and all those little extra things. I think a lot of it has to do with the passion of the programmers doing this on their own time, and they're not doing it for the money, they're doing it for the passion of what they love doing.
I think worth bearing in mind is that not only budgets were restricted, but time frames, production time was restricted, and particularly in the case of 80s games, which were so terrible for the congratulations, you have won game over, the number of bytes in which you had to place your game were hugely limited. So, you know, sometimes I think an outro might be justifiably dropped, if, particularly in dungeon crawlers, say, if you're just trying to pack in as much dungeon crawling action as you can possibly get your team to create. And briefly on the subject of Ultimas, Joe, which Ultima is it, spoiler alert, where you return to Britannia and your house has been burgled? Is it you return from Britannia and your house has been burgled? Is that 5?
I'm pretty sure it's five.
Yeah. Now that they actually bothered to write the proper outro, spoiler alert, Blackthorn gets banished, all that shit.
Now, some people would say that ending sucks really bad because you go through this whole adventure and then it's okay.
It's a bad ending for the character, but not a sucky ending, per se.
This is true because I love the idea that you get whipped back into reality for the whole thing. And a lot of that has to do with that is an inside joke among the programmers that Richard Garriott actually moved to the northeastern part of the United States to create Origin before they actually found it in Texas, and his house got robbed not once but twice in 1 week.
Oh. These,
the rumor has it the kids showed up on what are they, the big sleds, the big riding
snowmobiles?
Yeah, on snowmobiles, and robbed his house 2 times and stole everything in the house, like the computers, the stereo equipment, everything.
If you think about it, that's a really good ending. I mean, that guy from Ultima, the Avatar, looks like he's a nice house in all the cutscenes. I mean, like, it's not like he lives in an apartment. He has a guy's backyard too, where Moogate show up. And if some guy also disappeared from his house and he was gone for like a year, which is how long he's spending there, like, you know, taking care of business, his house would definitely get robbed. So I think that's a pretty good ending.
But it's kind of another view of bad endings that we maybe ought to go back to in another episode, since we're going to be out of time quite soon.
Like, your mailbox is
bad for the character, but actually quite satisfying for us as players.
Your mailbox is overflowing with overdue water and electric bills.
Exactly. And his car would have no tires. And
it has run away.
That's like nothing, basically, just a frame.
That is the right buzzword, KG. I was looking for was episodes, and I totally agree to what Joe said before about Half-Life, and that is what I don't like about episodic games, not about the format. You don't know if the story will ever be completed. There are so many episodic games, or there are many episodic games which were not completed, and the story ends in nowhere. No, we can do another chat about episodic game format at all, because I see a lot of disadvantages about that one in general, but one of the main things is you never know if the game finds an ending. The new Kingsworth from Sierra, they're planning 5 chapters. If the first 2 will be a financial mess, will Activision/Sierra continue it and tell it to the end, putting more money in it? It's not financed from scratch. They ordered chapter 1. They are now working in parallel on chapter 2. But that's so far what I heard is what they're working on right now. So if they don't succeed with that, will it continue? ? And if not, what about the story? No, you don't get the complete picture. I don't like that one. There are some episodic games. Half-Life is an example. The second guest, I guess, was an adventure game named. No, it was a financial disaster. Episode 1 ends on a horrible cliffhanger. It will never be completed. The story.
A vampire story, which was actually a really strong, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was a strong adventure game. I was really looking forward to the second episode of that, but it never happened.
Which one?
A vampire story.
A vampire story. Okay, but that was a cliffhanger. I mean, that was maybe a different story, but totally agree. Same result.
It ends on was expressly going to be released in 2 parts. That was what all the publicity material I got.
Speaking of episodic King's Quest games, it would be nice if the Silver Lining people would finally release the last chapter of that game. Phoenix Online Studios has been like 2 years or 3 years at least. They're publishing other stuff, doing God knows what. Like, finish the freaking thing you started. That would be nice. But in terms of people that actually finish their games, I don't know if you guys played The Silent Age. Have you heard of that game? I think that's what it's called. It was a mobile adventure game. They released
I played it on iPad. Right.
They released first episode for free, and then you'd like pay in basically, and they released the second one a few months ago, and the game is excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. If you've not played it, I highly recommend it. So it's possible to do that, right? I just wanted to throw a plug for those guys. They definitely deserve it.
The name again?
Linkus.
The Silent Age? That's what it's called, right, Pascal?
Right, Silent Age. What?
Silent Age, yeah. I think I can play it on my Android. It's available for iOS also.
I think I heard that they are planning to do it for PC now as well.
I think I heard that too. It's not where I played it, but I think I heard that as well. But yeah, great game.
Only available on mobile platforms so far, but I read something a few weeks ago or so, and that is really, really a good one. I totally agree. And there's another example, the Dream Machine. The Dream Machine is an awesome adventure game, which is done by an indie studio, small studio, and they all made with clay by their hands and with tiny little models and so. This is was actually released for, it was planned for 5 chapters, now it's coming out for 6. 5 are already available, but it took them years to finish it. It's a wonderful game, but it took 2 guys alive to create all these things. So that is, I'm really confident that this will be finished, but I wait until it's finished to experience the whole thing. But that is, there are good examples out there, of course, but they take time. And if you play it now, you forget everything until the next chapter.
If you go back to just the 80s and the 90s and look at all the different stuff that was out there, the phenomenon of the game that just ends and says, thank you for playing, is a rare phenomenon in my experience. So there are games out there that have the sins of the bad endings or whatever else, but generally, like all the Sierra games, all the LucasArts games, all the Infocom games, all the Legend games, they all tried to have like a good outro and make you feel like you accomplish your playing the game. Same thing with Origin, for the most part. you know, there's exceptions to all the rules, but this is not like something which is like a prevalent phenomenon in these older games where they all abuse the players. It was one-offs. That's what I wanted to say.
Thanks for listening to the Big Box PC Game Collectors Podcast. I know there was a big break in between episodes, but I had a lot going on, and I'm hoping that there won't be quite as much time in between episodes in the future. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe on the service of your choice, or you can find the episodes linked directly on bigboxpcgamecollectors.com.
We need to have some kind of a demonstration, I think. Oh, no.
Please, no.
Just stick it up your nose or something and see what it does.
Oh, maybe you can scratch your sinus.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perverted. I mean, just do something with it.
It doesn't have to be, but, you know, probably should be given the audience.